It's already been said, but on this day, it's good to say it again. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
There we go. It's a day of celebration, a day that we do celebrate the King of Life who has risen. Join with me and let's pray. Yes, Father, we thank you that we have this day. And we want to say thank you, Jesus, that you have risen, you conquered death and sin, and you are alive. And we ask in the next few moments that you would help us to understand the significance of what you have done, and you would help us to celebrate and to our hearts to be full of recognition and joy and thankfulness. So we commit this time to you, asking you, Christ, to be exalted. Your word to be understood. We ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to teach us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, join with me as we read a passage that's already been somewhat talked about in song, and it was read up here, 1 Corinthians 15. So I have the task in a very short period of time of, in some ways, unpacking what Christ has done. So we're going to talk briefly about some facets of what happened, what Christ did, his resurrection. And to give us a base to start from, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 15. We won't read the whole passage, but I'll read excerpts from it. So if you want to follow along, 1 Corinthians 15, at times we'll jump around. Now I would remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Jump down to verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Verse 50, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Christ has given us the victory. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, his essays called Miracles, said this. He summed up this passage in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, the New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind in the whole history of the universe. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. Everything is different because Jesus is alive. Thousands of years ago, on a very, very dark morning, before the sun had risen, a woman went to the tomb looking to see if her Savior was there. And what she found was an empty tomb. And she found part of heaven's army there, declaring to her, he is not here. He's not here. He is risen. You see, the king of life had beaten the king of death. It was over. He had fought, he had met, he had fought and beaten this king. And because of that, because he rose from the dead, everything is different. Was different then, it's different now, because he's done so. We've all experienced death, and maybe our relationships, physical death. We've experienced the results of sin, the death that it brings, the death that it brought. But so many of us have also experienced life, the life that Jesus has brought. The hope that we have that when this perishable body is laid in the grave, it's not the end. We've also experienced the hope that when I am bound by the chains of sin, through the power of Christ, I can be set free and be given life and new life. Be born again, as Jesus Christ said. So this morning, join me for a few minutes as we just reflect on how we move, how Jesus has moved us from death to life. Jesus has moved us from death to life. So just by way of reminder, please just think and celebrate the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. This is the love of God, the heart of God, that he saw humanity captive to sin, and he sent his only Son to die a sinner's death on a rescue mission. This is the love of God for us. But remind yourself too this morning of the sinfulness of your heart, of our hearts. We are really worse than we think or that we've ever thought. Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned, everyone, and fallen so short of the standard of the glory of God. And the result of that is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. It's death. But there's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. So God has a tremendous love for us in sending his Son. We're worse than we really think. But also remember the grace of our crucified and resurrected Christ. Jesus did die, and he did rise. This is a historical, real fact. It happened. 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22, we read earlier, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ came on a rescue mission because a man, Adam, rebelled against God. And because of his rebellion of saying no to God and choosing his own way, sin came into the world and it infected everything. Death came to us all. but by a new man, by the new Adam, life has come to all. And there's also an urgency for us this morning to respond. To respond for some of us in thankfulness and in worship. Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for delivering me from darkness, from bringing me to death to life. We respond in worship. And for some people, it's an urgency to repent, to say, I'm still in death and I need life. Jesus, rescue me. You're my only hope. Charles Wesley penned a poem, that's a song, summarizing these truths. He said, Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing, ye heavens, and earth reply. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise. Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died, our souls to save. Where thy victory, O grave? Soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head. Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. What Christ did, we were part of. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. He died in our place, the death that I didn't have to die. He rose, I could never rise. In my place, your place. Three things real quickly I want us to look at this morning as we think about the resurrection, as we think about what Christ has done for us. These are just three facets of this good news that we, because of time, have time to talk about. First one is, think with me for a moment about resurrection power. Resurrection power. Think way back to the very beginning of the scriptures, and we see God speaking into nothing, creating everything from nothing except for with his words, the power of his words, bringing things to life, light into darkness, flowers out of the ground, elephants, people. Use your imagination. Don't let it go too far. Christ spoke and it came into being. The power that God has to create, to bring things to life that never existed. And you see that pattern through Scripture happening. God speaking life into dismal situations, bringing hope to the hopeless, bringing light into darkness when it seems there's no help, there's no hope. And God enters in, and things change. You see, when Jesus comes on the greatest rescue mission, God sends his Son to earth. We see him raising Lazarus from the dead, speaking to that grave, Lazarus, come out. And with his authority, Lazarus had no choice but to come on out, to come from death to life. Jesus rises from the dead. That's what we celebrate today. The power of God. God raising from the dead. Rising from the dead. Jesus coming to life. You know what is mind-blowing? Is that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you if you are born again, if you're a child of God. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's mind-blowing. Each Easter, we remember the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that made everything from nothing. So there's resurrection power. Also in the scripture, we look at resurrection prophecy. Resurrection prophecy. Again, you can go back to the very beginning of the story in Genesis. And we read in Genesis, you know the story, you don't have to repeat it, but man rebelled against God. Sin enters into the world. Hopelessness is tasted and felt. Death is everywhere. But God has a plan that He's always had. And He declares that plan, the good news, that He's going to send a rescuer. And He speaks to the serpent, and He says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. It's what we call the proto-evangelia. It's the first time that the gospel, the good news, is spoken, is prophesied of, that Jesus will come, and He will win. He will defeat the enemy. We read another passage of Scripture in Isaiah and Psalms and places where it's prophesied that the rescuer will come and He will win. The King of life will defeat the King of death. He will meet him. He will fight him, and He will win. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, we read at the beginning, verse 54 and 55, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? That is declared when Christ rises from the dead. To answer the question, there's no more victory. Christ has won. Third and final point, and we'll spend a few minutes on this one, is that there is a purpose to the resurrection. This resurrection purpose. Why did Christ rise? Why do we celebrate this huge event? Well, we could simply just say, why did Jesus die? Because you would. Why did Jesus rise? Because you couldn't. And why did Jesus live? So you can. We could just leave it there and go have cake downstairs. But there's more to it. We'll just unpack that a little bit. Christ, the purpose of the resurrection, and again, these are facets of it, is that He has come to rescue and redeem you. Jared Wilson, I like how he puts this, the essential mustard seed of the gospel that we've been talking to up to this point is the incredible historic event of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And this is really good news because you and I are sinners under God's wrath and will die under the penalty of that wrath, destined for hell without His divine intervention. So what is the really good news? It is the news that Jesus died for sins on the cross and resurrected for eternal life out of that tomb. And this news is really good news because it means that if you will confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that this good news is true news, you will be saved into a secure, eternal relationship with God Himself. This is the essential mustard seed of the gospel. So He's come to rescue us and redeem us. His resurrection testifies this from our sin and the reality of hell. But also, He's redeemed us. He's made us His bride, part of the church. He's made us beautiful. We are His lovely bride. And He adores His bride. He loves you. You see, when God, if you're born again, a child of God, when God looks at you, He sees His Son. And He is very pleased and very satisfied. And He loves you deeply. The scripture talks how that this picture of bringing beauty from ashes, there's a pile of nothing this, just ashes. How can anything good happen from this? Well, because of the resurrection, beauty does come out of ashes. Lives are changed. There's a story told of a guy who went up to a tribe who was in South America, and he was up in this tribal village, and he saw all of these villagers working away furiously on these looms, making these beautiful, beautiful tapestries. And if you ever seen these looms, they're just shuttling back and forth, all these colors, all these yarns going through, and he was just amazed, like, how are they doing this? And he asked his translator, if they make a mistake, they've been working hours and hours and hours, if they make a mistake, what do they do? That'd be a bummer. They have to start all over. It's a lot of work. And he said, no. They don't start over. He said, when they make a mistake, actually, those tapestries end up being the most expensive, the most priceless. He's confused. Why? Because they take their mistake and they weave it into the pattern. And it's beautiful. It's unique. It's priceless. And Christ, in a way, God does that with us. He rescues us, and he doesn't say, oh, you're too bad, throw us away. But he takes us and he rescues us and he redeems us. And we're part of his story. All of our brokenness, all of our past, he forgives us, he cleanses us, but it's part of our story. It's part of our story of being rescued and redeemed. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. It's a logical thing, but it's also a thing of faith. Okay, if we've been united with him in a death like his, with Christ I died, his death in my place, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And you know, this is true in every step of salvation. Our union with Christ in his resurrection ensures three things. One, it's our justification. That means that he declares us just before God. We're right before God. Romans 4:24. Romans 6:4 also talks about how our union with Christ in his resurrection ensures our sanctification. That means that he's making us progressively holy. We're becoming more and more and more like him because of his resurrection. And because of his resurrection, our union with Christ and his resurrection, it ensures, it's guaranteed, our glorification, meaning that we will be made like him when we see him. We'll be given a new body, a real body, but a perfect body, and we'll be like him. But the also final purpose that we'll look at of the resurrection is to restore you, to put everything right, everything that was broken, everything that was ruined in your life and in this earth. Because of the resurrection, everything will be okay. Everything will be right. I love how Timothy Keller talked about the resurrection a few days after 9/11 happened in New York. He's giving a sermon, and he said these words, talking about the meaning of the resurrection. He said, I have come not to take you out of the earth to heaven, but to bring the power of heaven down to earth, to make a new heaven and a new earth and make everything new. I'm going to restore everything that was lost, and it will be a million times better than you can imagine. This is the power of my future, the power of the new heaven and new earth, the joy and the wholeness and the health and the newness that will come, the tears that will be gone, and the suffering and death and disease that will be wiped out, the power of all that will incorporate and envelop everything. Everything is going to be made better. Everything is going to be made right. Do you believe that? In the midst of dark times and hopeless times, everything's going to be right because Jesus is alive. The King of life defeated the king of death. And he said, it's finished. I won. And the process of restoration has begun. Keller says in one of his books, a different book, he said, another way to look at the Christian life, speaking of the restoration of all things, is to see it from the perspective of the final restoration. We know that the world and our hearts are broken. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was an infinitely costly rescue operation to restore justice to the oppressed and marginalized, physical wholeness to the diseased and dying, community to the isolated and lonely, and spiritual joy and connection to those alienated from God. To be a Christian today is to become part of that same operation with the expectation of suffering and hardship and the joyful assurance of eventual success. So in closing, we do work for justice and truth, and we labor in expectation of a perfect world in which, according to Revelation 21:4, He, Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things is passed away. And when we get there, we will say, I've come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it. And it will by no means be the end of our story. In fact, to quote C.S. Lewis once more, as he put it, all the adventures we have ever had will end up being only the cover and the title page. Finally, we will begin chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Has it changed you? If it has, celebrate, worship, be full of thankfulness. But maybe you've never surrendered to His love. And today is a great day for that. To let the King of life take over your life. To become His child, no longer subject to the King of death. You can leave death and come to life. You can leave darkness and come to light. Just as that woman on that morning came to the tomb and they said, He's not here. He put a period on the next point and he said, He has risen. He has risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You for Your great love. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, King of life, that You defeated the King of death. We thank You that You are risen and that because You're alive, it changes everything. And I ask that each one of us would understand that in a real and a deep way. And we thank You that You have rescued us. You've redeemed us and made us Your own, and You're restoring our lives, and You're restoring this world, and that everything will be okay because You are alive, and You're our hope, now and forever. In Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.